We have had read for us there Matthew chapter 25, and it's a wonderful reading. And of course, we all know this part of Scripture very well. In drawing our minds together and focusing our attention on the emblems at this time, I don't want to do a verse by verse of Matthew chapter 25 or anything like that. Instead, I want to just bring out a couple of points here that you can spend time looking at for yourselves when you have the time and the inclination. I hope that what we look at now will give you an idea of exactly what the Lord's trying to get across by way of a myth. Chapter 25, of course, as happens in most books, comes after chapter 24. Now, in mid-chapter 24, or around in the middle of the chapter there, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ brings out this element again, talking about his return. Bear in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't died yet. He hasn't been crucified. So he is heading towards that. Time is becoming closer and closer to him. In chapter 24, in the mid-verses of the chapter, he's talking about his return. When he gets to the end of chapter 24, he's talking about watchfulness. He's talking about watching and waiting and keeping an eye on what's going to happen. And that's how chapter 24 concludes. And now when we come to chapter 25, he moves on from talking about watching and waiting to three little stories about what to do while you're waiting. And we'll see, as we go through these, just briefly, how these three stories come together and communicate going on from what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in chapter 24 about his return. Now we have there the three stories, the story of the 10 virgins, of the three servants and the gift of the talents, and he moves on to the sheep and the goats in the final section. But these three stories are not ad hoc. I want you to consider that. They're not just three random stories that Jesus Christ says, well, I've told them I'm going to return, so what am I going to tell them? Oh, there's so much to tell them about. I'll just tell them about this, about that, and a bit about this, and if I get a chance, I'll tell them about this as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is not approaching the subject like that. They are not three mixed-up stories that he's telling just because he can't think of anything else, and there's so much to tell about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ that where does one start? But here he gives three little stories there. Now, and I just want to reinforce that. They're not ad hoc, but they're in fact progressive, and they're organized in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is communicating them. Of course, the first section is that parable told of the virgins, and that goes from verses 1 to 13. And this is very much about spiritual readiness. There's one thing to make a note of, if you like, if you've got a pen and paper there, or a pencil if you want to mark it in your margin. It's spiritual readiness with the virgins in verses 1 to 13, and then in verses 14 to 30, there is the parable of the talents, and this is about productive waiting. So first we have spiritual readiness, followed by productive waiting, and then in verses 31 to 46, we have the parable of the sheep and the goats, and this is about active service. We'll come back to each of these. I just want to make a couple of brief points on each of them. Now, being that it's our daily reading, I want you to bear in mind that there is so much in these chapters that we can't get out at this time, but we just need a couple of little pointers on each thing to take away with us here so that we can look at these things deeper and get into that beautiful word and get more exciting lessons from the Word of God. Now firstly, when we come to the parable of the virgins, we note that there's a few things in here. I just want to bring out a couple of them. And the first is that of oil. We have oil used there. Now bear in mind that oil was primarily for two uses in ancient Israel there. The first was food, and the second was light. Two very basic things that humankind needs. Food and light. In this case, it was primarily being used for light. But unlike us, who have a switch on the wall and we can just turn on the light, we go back 50 years and there was gas lighting, or actually a little bit earlier than that. Then you go back 100 years and there was kerosene. You go back before that and there was whale oil was used for lighting. And you go back before that and then you have olive oil used. Now the point of why I'm saying that is because what is so effortless for us now in just the flicking on of a switch for light was in their time something that required a lot of effort. This is where we bring out the principle of spiritual readiness, in that somebody doesn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm spiritually ready, let's move on through the day. It doesn't work like that. Spiritual readiness comes from a lot of effort and a lot of input. If we're not doing the daily readings, if we're not reading the Word, if we're not reading books and articles on things that are preparing us spiritually for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're not ready. People say, oh, you don't have to do the daily readings to be spiritual. I say, okay, that's fine. What are you putting in its place instead? A few people can actually admit that what they are doing is more profitable than that. And I know we all get caught up from time to time on doing things that are important, even spiritual things that are important. But pressing the fruit to draw out that oil is not something that is done by half. It's either done or it's not done. And that is a great lesson that these 10 virgins learnt. Of course, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish indeed. If you come with me, just over to Ephesians chapter 5, there's a couple of notes that the Apostle Paul makes on it here. Ephesians chapter 5, have a look at verses 13 to 17 we're going to read there. He says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Now, if you haven't put in, and you haven't got out, and you haven't lit it up, then you haven't got the light. Everything, he says, is exposed by the light. Verse 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Does this not apply to those virgins, foolish or wise, who are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? He goes on in verse 15 and says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Isn't that a beautiful cameo of exactly what was happening back there in Matthew chapter 25? Isn't that exactly what it's about? Make a note of that for having a look at later. So we have in the parable of the virgins the elements of oil and light. We move on to the next section. We have there the talents. And you will recognize from having a look at that story, well, most of us have read it many, many times. But in here, it's not, people sort of talk about whether a talent is an ability or whether it's something else. Or some argue that, that we've all been given this grace in Christ, therefore we all have the same amount. So how can we have this? That's something to think about in your own time. The point is, when we come to this parable, that it's about resources. It's about using a resource that we've been given. In the case of the story, the resource was money. Quite a lot of money. But it was a resource that was given. Some of us are given time. And these people in this parable, the one who was given the 5, the one who was given the 2 talents, the one who was given the 1, they were all given a certain amount of resources, and they were all given exactly the same amount of time. That's worth noting, I believe. But they have an opportunity to do something with what they've got, with what they've been given. Now, Sometimes that means taking what we have and making something of it. Sometimes it means taking something that we have and making a little something else, and 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 then bringing those things together. But we all have that opportunity. Let's go over to the Old Testament. I want to draw a little quote here that you can note next time you're thinking about the parable of the talents. We find this in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I believe this is a good example, and much of the chapter is talking about riches, the meaninglessness of money, and other things there. But note these words here in verse 18. He says there, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 18, "Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in the toil and labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot." So just like the three servants in the parable of the talents, they have a few days and that's all they have. Moreover, he says in verse 19, "When God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and to be happy in his work, not in his gifts, to sit around and do nothing or moan or complain or anything else, to accept his lot and be happy in his work. This is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart." There's a certain amount of integrity required, I believe, in this chapter 25 of Matthew, because we have to approach each of these with the integrity. What is the integrity that we approach this gift that is given to us? Whose goods are they? Who really owns what we own? Who really gives us the time to do what we do with our time? Whose gifts are these really? And how are we using them? So that's the lessons we draw from that. Of course, there's a lot more in there, but I just want to bring out some of these elements that you perhaps haven't thought about and you want to think a bit more about too. We move on to the third parable in this chapter, which is, of course, the sheep and the goats. When we approach the sheep and the goat, this message here in chapter 25, the sheep and the goats, we often refer to it as those kicked in and those kicked out. And we say, okay, well, you've got the goats there. But the message that the Lord Jesus Christ is putting across here is not about who's in and who's out, rather how who is in gets in. And as we read there, it's about feeding the hungry, visiting the sick. These are the things that this particular parable is about. It's not about sheep and goats. It's about service, and it's about active service. It's service that tells the sheep and the goats apart. It's not the colour of their skin, it's not the colour of their wool, it's not the size of their horns, it's not the breadth of their hooves. It's what they do that sets the sheep and goats apart. And it's service that makes the difference there. There's a good example of this, actually, in Ezekiel chapter 34, which I'll just read for you there. The prophet says, or God says through the prophet there in verse 17, "As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats." This is Ezekiel 34, verse 18 now. "Is it enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet?" See the actions here. Very, very physical. This is bringing it to a real animal level, isn't it? "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. Driving them away, isn't that so far from what we are encouraged to do in the latter part of chapter 25 of Matthew? Reading on in Ezekiel chapter 34, I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd. Figuratively, my servant David, and he will tend them, he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. It's simple, isn't it? It's providing for the simple need of other, not trampling or moving with shoulder or flank. It's service. It's active service. While we're in the Old Testament, come over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and we read some more of exactly this type of action, these activities, the kind of behavior required to be a sheep rather than a goat. Isaiah chapter 58. Read there in verse 6. It is not the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, he says, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like dawn. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ had these very words in his mind when he spoke to us from Matthew chapter 25? I believe he did, brothers and sisters. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and your cry for help, and he will say, here am I. How important would it be for us to hear the Lord is with us at the judgment seat? How applicable are these words? Simple needs need simple service, and that simple service is our duty as the sheep of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheep serve a shepherd. Each parable of this chapter 25 in Matthew speaks to us of very clear and simple actions, of very clear and it's a very clear and simple message of spiritual readiness, of productive waiting, and of active service. Each parable speaks of freedom, as we have seen with these other quotes that we've looked at here. It's about freedom. It's our freedom to be able to spiritually prepare ourselves. It's the freedom to be able to productively await our Lord Jesus Christ's return. It's the freedom to actively serve our Lord Jesus Christ. In serving our brothers and sisters, friends, contacts, wives, husbands, spouses, friends, children, to serve in every means possible. We have been given the freedom to do that, brothers and sisters, and we need to do it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I want to read to you there the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. Remember, each parable speaks of freedom. The freedom to prepare, the freedom to act, and the freedom to serve. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ quotes the words of Isaiah chapter 61. I think it's verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he hath anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind. There's light to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. We hope indeed that this is the year when we will see the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, we have to gather together, strengthen one another, share the bread and the wine, and remember the freedom that we have in Christ for the price paid and for the work done, to prepare, to act, and to serve.